Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here is your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by SocialMediaExaminer.com. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know what works with social media. I am really excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Tim Schmoyer, and we're going to explore big changes from YouTube. And with all this Facebook apocalypse stuff going on, trust me, you're going to want to pay attention to this. By the way, podcast at socialmediaexaminer.com is how you can reach me. And with that, let's transition over to this week's brand new discovery.
Helping you stay alive in the social jungle. Here is this week's survival tip.
This week, I'm very excited to be joined by Eric Fisher with a brand new discovery. What'd you find, Eric?
I found a really cool iOS app from Google that does one thing and one thing well, and it's make looping videos.
Huh. What's it called?
It's called Scrubbies.
What?
Which is a really Scrubbies? Weird name. Okay. But if you think about video production and you think about scrubbing through a video, which is exactly what this does, then you kind of get why the name is that way. So let me describe what it does. So you record the video on your phone, and then here's where the magic happens. You start to scrub with one finger. You place it down on your phone, and you place it and move it up or down, and you get yourself to the point of the video you want to be at, and then you release your finger. Now you put two fingers down, and you then can make it sort of like a boomerang video, but you've got control forwards and backwards by moving your two fingers forwards and backwards. So again, you're
kind of reminds me of a disc jockey.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, like a disc jockey in the olden days with a record player where they would scratch the thing back and forth. Is that kind of the idea?
That's exactly like it. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a perfect metaphor for it.
So you just upload a video or what? I mean, help me understand. Like, you just, does it work off of your phone and it's just pulling out of your camera roll, or what exactly is it doing?
What you do is you record a video real quick, and then once you're done recording the video, so for example, I could be in the hallway at Social Media Marketing World, or people are like going from the keynote and then going out into all the different sessions, and I can record that. Then I can kind of use one finger to kind of cue up where I want it to start, and then use two fingers to, like, say, go forwards and then backwards or forwards again, or even a couple different times. Huh. And then it's going to show people, like, it shows the motion and shows all the different people, like, moving forwards or backwards. Or, I mean, you can use this. It's really powerful when you come down to, like a boomerang, capturing really cool split-second motions. Yeah.
Cool. So you have to use the app to capture the video. That's the first thing I'm hearing you say, yeah. Right? And then it will output the video in whatever format you need it to be, or
whatever format you need it to be. If you want vertical video, you can do it that way. You want landscape, you can do it that way.
Huh.
And again, this is really cool. Like, for any kind of almost a substitute that you would use a boomerang video, which sometimes those are hard to kind of fine tune, this gives you that extra fine tuning ability.
Cool. And it's called, spell it out for us.
It's called Scrubbies, and that's Scrubbies.
Scrubbies. And where do we find it?
So just go to the iOS App Store and search for Scrubbies. Again, it's a Google app, so I'm kind of hoping they bring it over to Android for all the Android users as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Eric.
You're welcome.
Earlier in today's show, I mentioned the Social Media Marketing Society. When you join this exclusive community, you get access to marketing training covering everything from artificial intelligence all the way to YouTube. You see what I did? A to Y, all the way across the spectrum. Every month, we add fresh new training workshops on the latest marketing strategies. Join more than 1,000 marketers who are thriving because of the society. Here's what a fellow marketer had to say, quote, "I've been so impressed with the content of the society. It's the deep dive I was wanting. Really glad I joined," unquote, said Dina Childs. Join today by visiting smmarketingsociety.com. Again, smmarketingsociety.com. And now for today's interview with Tim Schmoyer.
Helping you to simplify your social safari. Here is this week's expert guide.
Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Tim Schmoyer. If you don't know who Tim is, he's the founder of VideoCreators.tv, a YouTube community of more than 340,000 video creators. He's the leading expert on building a loyal tribe on YouTube. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
So today, Tim and I are going to explore where YouTube is heading, and we're going to dive deep into the YouTube community tab. So, Tim, over the last couple of months, there's been pretty substantial big changes coming from YouTube. Maybe you can just at a high level tell us kind of what those changes are and what it signals about the direction that YouTube is heading in.
Yeah, from a high level, I think what most people have thought of when they think of YouTube is it's this place where you create this polished video content, you upload it, and then your subscribers and a community of other people can all discover it and find it and comment on it if they'd like. But it's really, at the end of the day, a place about producing and uploading videos. Well, what's been changing recently over the past year is YouTube has added some new features that indicates that it's going a little bit of a different direction. I mean, it's still very much a video-centric platform, but they've added some new features like contacts, which we might know as friends, on other platforms. They've added the ability to be able to post not only videos, but photos and polls and text updates, as well as quick little video, story formats type of videos as well. So they're really focusing more on this kind of community development and ways you can stay in front of your audience, not just through polished videos that take time, but also through these quick little updates and other ways as well.
So I think historically the way that YouTube has been is you publish a video and people comment on the video and it kind of is like a blog post, right? So you have your video and you have all your conversation there. But now that they have this ability to kind of create contacts and friends and stuff, that opens up a sharing capability, doesn't it?
Right. So a subscriber kind of functions the way we're used to as like a follower on Twitter or, a like on Facebook, on a Facebook page or something like that, where it's just like, hey, I'm kind of agreeing. I want to see updates from you is what that means as a subscriber. A friend on Facebook, though, is like this two-way mutual agreement where we both said, yes, we accept that we want to be connected to each other. And that's how contacts work on YouTube, where you and I, Michael, are friends, and I add you as a contact on YouTube. Now I can say, hey, Michael, check out this new video from, Gary V. I think this would be a great topic for you to talk about a social media marketing world, and I can share it to you directly inside of Facebook now, rather than the old school way, which was copy the URL and then text it to you or share it with you on Twitter or something like that. Now you can share a video, but have private personal conversations back and forth messaging with a friend of yours around a video. So it's not just comments. It's like just you and me having a chat.
It's like Facebook Messenger. It's like Facebook Messenger, but it's inside the YouTube app, really, right?
Yep. And it still revolves around videos.
Right.
So I still have to send you a video, but it could be a group of friends, just like Messenger as well.
You can send messages without videos, couldn't you, to your contacts?
There is a messaging feature that has been in there for a long time. So gotcha. That's not really a new feature, but yeah.
It's really the ability to share the video to your contacts. That's the thing, right? Is that what I hear you saying?
Right. And to add those people as friends/contacts and be able to share directly to them and have a group conversation. Like maybe you got a bunch of friends at work or y'all working on a project together. Now it's really easy to create a group inside of YouTube and be like, oh, here's a video that I think would be really helpful for this project that we're working on or this problem we're trying to solve, and boom, 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 you share like three videos to the group and then the group can have an organized, structured conversation right inside the YouTube app. Now, I think it is important to know that this is on mobile. And so it's not on desktop. This is most of these features are interestingly just on mobile, which I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it's I assume that they'll eventually roll out to desktop, but I don't have any data on that. But all these features right now, I think, are being developed on platforms where people are seem to be most likely to be engaging these types of features.
And I would imagine there's a notifications capability on these contacts when a message comes in, just like a text message. Now, that's fascinating. So we've got this contacts thing, and we're going to get to community tab in just a second, but we've also got this vertical video, Instagram story style thing called Reels. Maybe just briefly explain what that is.
So Reels is kind of YouTube's answer to the popular stories format that you're used to on other social media platforms. It's quick 30-second clips from my phone. Again, this is a mobile only feature that that you're used to, where you just hold the record button and you record for a few seconds. You can have little emojis on top of yourself, little stickers, swipe for different filters, things like that. And then you just post it to your reel, and it goes to your subscriber base for there's two different types of reels, and go for 24 hours, or they have a more long-term reel as well that can be ongoing longer than 24 hours. So let me give you an example of both of these. I think this might be good for social media marketing world coming up, actually, is that the 24-hour ones, those are the ones that we're used to, you know, just quick behind the scenes, here's what I'm working on. And the way YouTube subscribers get notified of those is when they go to, again, mobile only, they tap on their subscriptions button at the bottom, and at the top, they will see like a line, a row of all the people they're subscribed to, and there's a little dot next to the people who have recently had new activity on their channel, which like could be a new video or something. But if that person has recently posted to their reel, instead of it being a circle, it's like a huge square. Actually, it's really hard to miss, and it pops out, and you're like, why is that one different from all the others? And you tap on it, and then you can see those 30-second clips. Now, you can also have an ongoing reel that doesn't expire after 24 hours. And this would be something good for like an event, for example, where this event lasts longer than 24 hours, right? And you want someone maybe next week to go back and be able to watch the whole experience of social media marketing world from Michael Stelzner's perspective, from his phone straight to his YouTube subscribers right there, right? So, and you can have many of these, not right now, it's still in private beta. I've been playing around with it. I got access to it right after it launched, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. And I can tell you personally, the reach on these things has been incredible for me. I'm very much blown away by how much reach these things are getting. But I think it's really cool that it's not just 24 hours, but it's kind of more that creator mindset where I'm more likely to make content that, might not get exposure after it reaches my initial audience. But I think on YouTube, people are used to the possibility that their videos could still get exposure, and not just be deleted after 24 hours. That's just not quite the YouTube thing. So that option to do both types of reels is there.
That sounds a lot like the Instagram Stories highlights feature where you can save them into these little highlights. Mm-hmm. Who can get reels? Is it available for everyone?
It's in closed beta right now, so you got to know somebody, basically.
It'll come out eventually, though, I would imagine, right? I'm sure by the time, depending on when you're listening to this in the future, I'm sure this will be something that you'll be able to discover.
Yeah, the way YouTube typically releases these types of things is they do a closed beta release right now where they just get some data about it, and then they'll broaden it a little bit more to kind of a more broader trusted group of friends and people, and then it'll be like top influencers, and then it'll be channels with 10,000 subscribers or more, and then it'll be 1,000 subscribers or more, and then it'll go to everyone.
Okay, so now we're going to zoom in on the thing that is available for a lot of people called the community tab. So let's start by describing what is the community tab, and then we'll get into like why it's valuable and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it's called a tab, a community tab, because it's a tab at the top of your YouTube channel. You have videos, playlists, and about up there. Well, there's a new tab, I think for channels with 10,000 subscribers or more, called a community tab. And what that community tab does is this is the place where you can interact with your community beyond just a published video. You can post polls, you can post photos, you can ask questions, you can link to different videos and playlists and feature them there. This shows up in the subscribers feed, again, only on mobile, and it gets mixed in with all the other videos and things the activity that's happening on the other channels that they're subscribed to. So you're scrolling through, you might see a video, but then, oh, okay, well, here's actually a poll from this person. He's asking which is my favorite song that he should cover next. Okay, to cover that song next. And then it's just like a quick tap to vote. And then you're scrolling. Oh, here's like this photo behind the scenes of this guy is getting ready to shoot this next big video. Can't wait for that video. I heart it. You know, you kind of keep scrolling. So it's kind of starting to feel a little bit more like a social media feed.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like what used to be called the Facebook wall or the Facebook timeline on a page, you know, which is like reverse chronological order, right? The newest stuff at the top. But the difference is it's not your videos. It's everything but videos, right? So it's like the videos that you publish on YouTube are not in the community tab. Instead, it's the stuff where you want interaction with the community. That's what's fascinating to me. We're going to dig into like a little bit more about like all the options and stuff, but like, what's your take on this? You know, this seems like a pretty big change, for YouTube.
I think it's a necessary change. It's probably been a long time coming. YouTube been trying to go this direction for years. If you remember the failed Google Plus integration,
right?
I mean, that's what they were trying to do there poorly, but the execution was all messed up, but the idea was still the same, is we don't want this just to be videos, but how else can we make this a bigger platform for other types of not necessarily for other types of content, but for other ways of communicating and interacting with your audience. So this really addresses a huge problem that YouTube's had for a while, which is there's so many content creators who just can't produce the type of content that they want to produce on like a daily or weekly schedule and stay in front of their audience at a pace that, you know, YouTube recommends and the audience demands that you stay in front of me this often in order to keep my attention. And so like if you're Epic Rap Battles of History or you're doing a animation series, you know, sometimes animated videos can take even a 1.5-2 minute clip can take 6 weeks to create.
Right.
You're doing like high production music videos or something, like you just can't be cranking those out the same way like a daily vlogger does. So in order to not just become a big platform of daily vloggers and gamers, I think is a good response to like, here's other ways you can stay in front of your audience while you're working on the music video, while you're working on the animation, while you're working on the, you know, this big content. You can continually stay in front of them with these reels and with these behind the scenes photos and with these polls and questions and status updates and everything. You can keep them engaged and build hype and get them excited about that next video when it comes, even if it's 6 weeks away.
What's so fascinating to me is I think we're seeing what I'm going to call the great amalgamation. You know, Facebook is getting into video in a major way. YouTube is getting to be far more, I'm just going to say, social, you know, than it has been in the past, because the idea that, and marketers pay attention to this, right? So many of the people listening to this podcast are really good at creating engaging posts on other social platforms other than YouTube that do not require the production value of a video. And the idea that that's now available on YouTube should be a really big deal for all the marketers that are listening right now, because you can now interact with your community on YouTube in a way that you currently do on all the other social platforms. And I think that's actually huge, because, you know, Tim, you and I have been going to conferences for a long time, you much longer than me, but I've been going to these YouTube conferences for years. And the creator community is very different than the social media you know, community. They're like very, very different. And it's almost like now the social community has a chance to come and be successful on YouTube without having to do the monster creative initiatives on a regular basis that so many of the big YouTubers do. And now the creators don't have to go to the other platforms to develop a super engagement with their tribe beyond just the video too. That's fascinating to me. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think that for someone coming to YouTube, I don't know that I would necessarily recommend you use YouTube just for polls and GIFs and, you know, things like that. I mean, you still need to produce content, produce videos, and upload them in order to build the channel and get the audience. So I see like maybe YouTube is still very much video centric, but you can support your time between videos with things from the community tab and Reels, whereas some of these other platforms seem to be the other way around, where they're kind of built around status updates and photos and things like that, and then you kind of fill it in with like a big video once in a while. So does that make sense? That's kind of how I feel like the role video plays on one versus the other right now anyway.
I want to get into the different kinds of things you can do in the tab. But I first want to ask, how does the exposure work? Like, explain, like when someone posts, like let's just take, you know, you have a huge 340,000, you know, subscriber channel. When you post something into your community tab, how does your subscriber base see that content?
Yeah, it's right on their feed there, right in their subscription feed in the YouTube app on mobile only. So people on desktop won't see it on their feed unless they're going to straight to your community tab and looking. It's only on the subscription feed on mobile. And so by default now, everyone's subscription feed is called videos and posts. And the very top, there's a little drop-down menu, and by default it says video and posts. But there are some people who are very much against this community tab stuff. They're very old school. They're like, I don't want to see any of this on my YouTube subscription feed. I just want to see videos. Please get this out of here. It's very easy for anyone to filter out all the communities to tab stuff. All they have to do is tap that little drop down at the top. It's the very top. It's like even before you get to the content, it's this drop down menu that you could switch it from videos and posts to videos only. And then boom, all of your photos, polls, everything is filtered out except for videos. So people who are on YouTube, they're like, I'm not here for community. I'm just here for videos. It's easy. They can still filter out all that stuff. And there's not really anything you can do about that.
But it's defaulted to show it all. It's defaulted to show it all. And most people probably won't filter it, right? So that's actually a really good message for those that are doing this community tab thing, because it sounds like it's kind of right there when you open the YouTube app along with everything else. Is that right?
It is. The problem, though, is that some people are like, why is this here? And this has happened to me with a few people. And I've talked to YouTube about this, and this is why it's still in beta, and they'll still be figuring this out as they go forward with how they communicate this. But some people are like, I don't want this here is the only way for me to remove this from my feed, for me to unsubscribe from all these channels. And then all of a sudden you're like, no, don't unsubscribe. You know, like just tap that little drop down menu. But people, if they miss the drop down menu, don't know they can just filter everything out. And and so by, you know, so some people just unsubscribe instead, not knowing what else to do. So that's kind of more of a communication issue. There is a more granular approach that's kind of more advanced. When you click subscribe and then you click on the bell notification icon next to the subscribe button, you can opt to get notified of videos or posts and videos or something like that too.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. Okay. That's more of like a power user tip. I don't know how many people actually do that, but.
So if you just hit the bell by default, is it just going to be the videos or is it going to be all the activities?
By default, it's going to be everything.
Huh. Know? Very fascinating.
Well, by everything, I mean, based on their algorithm of what they decide you should be notified of.
That's an important distinction. Okay. Yeah. So help our audience understand, is the YouTube homepage when you open the app in chronological order, or is it algorithmically kind of, you know, random based on what they think you want to see?
It's very much algorithmic.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So if for whatever reason they don't think that if you're overdoing the community tab stuff, it may not necessarily get any exposure, is what I hear you saying, right?
Yeah, it's based on, you know, the types of content that you come back to YouTube looking for. Like, hey, whenever Mike comes back to YouTube, he's typically starting with this woodworking channel. So let's make sure we put that woodworking channel front and center for him each time he comes back to YouTube.
Right.
So it's based on a lot of viewing history, search history, behavior and things. I actually just want to double check. I'm clicking on the bell and I don't have my phone in front of me. It might be mobile only. But on desktop, I can't select on the bell posts and things. So it might be mobile only for that feature.
Okay, so let's talk about the kinds of content that you kind of briefly went over it real quickly, but what exactly can you do in the community tab? Let's kind of go through the options.
Yeah, so the first thing you can do is you can just make a standard text update, like I think most of us are used to. You just type your message in there and hit post. That could be the form of just a quick update. You could just litter that thing with a whole bunch of text if you wanted to also.
Can you upload a picture?
You can upload a picture. You can an animated GIF as well. And some people are using GIFs pretty strategically, actually, which we can talk about here in a second. You can add a poll with different voting options there.
Can you link out to an article or something like that?
You can, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, for example, when this podcast gets published, I'll probably post this, a link to this podcast on my community tab for people to check out.
When you link to an article, does it pull in, like just like Facebook does, like the picture and the description automatically, or is it just a link?
It's been just a link.
Got it. So you can do a text update, you can do picture, animated GIFs, a poll, an article link. Can you share a video?
Yeah, that would have been that's a good thing for them to include. Yes, you can link directly to a video. Now there's a little button to add that. It's a little, looks like a video with a plus icon right below where you would type your status update. And you click on that and then you can either search for a video, you can enter in the video's URL, or you can select from any of the videos you've uploaded to your channel right there and share that again with some support text around it and publish that to your feed.
What about uploading a video from your phone?
Like a reel? Is that what you mean?
Well, no, let's just say I just took a 30-second behind the scenes video on my iPhone and I want to get it up there. Is that something I can do or is that not?
That's not for the community tab. That'd be a cool feature. I do think there should be closer integration, and I think there will be, or I'm guessing there will be, I should say, going forward between reels and the community tab. But I don't know exactly how they'll integrate that, but that would be that solution, I think.
All right. So we've got all these options. I particularly like the sharing of a video, and I could see how strategically people could partner to share each other's videos, and that could be really powerful. It's not quite the same as like on Facebook when you share it on your page, but it is allowing that video to be seen by your community. So that could be a real strategic way to potentially use the community tab in partnership maybe or in a collaboration with another creator. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you can certainly share each other's videos there, especially ones that you feel like are valuable to your audience. The way I think about all these types of things is like my goal here with the community tab is to serve my audience well by giving them information and content that's valuable to them. So I'm probably not just going to share something just because, you know, another friend of mine like wanted to do you share my video, I'll share your video type of thing, like a sub for sub type of thing on YouTube. Like, I'm probably not going to do that. But if your video is really valuable to my community, or like this podcast, for example, will be valuable to my community, I'm going to share it. You know, even if you're not going to share my stuff, like it's just like this is me sharing
what
I think is valuable for them. So that when they do see things coming through from me, they're not just thumbsing it down, or they're not just kind of, I don't want to see this type of thing. They're actually engaging with it and telling YouTube, giving them the signals like, hey, when Tim posts something on his community tab, it gets a lot of interaction. These people are really finding this to be valuable. They're really responding well to this. Let's keep promoting the things that he pushes. So I kind of want to keep it pretty high value.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about how you're actually doing it. Like, let's take your, you know, one of your channels and maybe go through the kinds of what your content strategy is or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried a few things. I've seen other people try a few things. Some of the things that I like that I thought were kind of unique besides just using this to promote things beyond video is how we use it to promote videos that we are creating and publishing or planning. You know, so it's not just behind the scenes stuff. But, you know, some creators, maybe a few hours before they publish a video, up to like a day before they publish a video, they'll get like a brief animated GIF of that video and say, this is coming tomorrow. Here's the GIF. And it's like the climax of the video or like some like really shocking moment or something that's right. Just like really attention grabbing. And it just plays in a loop over and over again. You know, think Vine, I suppose, but on YouTube.
But with no sound, it's just a GIF, right?
Yeah, it's just a GIF, and you can see like people the building the anticipation, and then when that video comes, then there's a lot of people there waiting for that video and looking forward to seeing that.
I love that.
And so some people they'll use those animated GIFs to tease upcoming content. And then after the video is published, you can also resurface some of those videos by re-highlighting them for your community. You know, like for me, I have hundreds of videos on my channel about growing a YouTube audience. And some of those videos I published 3 years ago are still just relevant today as they were then.
I love it.
And so I can resurface some of this content now that maybe isn't getting the type of traction that I think it should. I'm like, man, everyone keeps asking me this question. I answered it in this video. No one's finding this video. I can hopefully maybe breathe new life, get some more watch time on that video by resurfacing it here on my community tab. I could.
Now, hold on a second. Before you go to the next idea, I want to ask a question here on the animated GIFs thing. For those that don't know how to do this, is there a good tool to take a segment of a video and make a GIF out of it? Because a lot of people may not know how to do that. Or do you even know how to do that?
We do that inside of the Premiere Adobe Premiere Suite.
Got it. That's more of an advanced tool for something like
I'm sure. I know there's websites that use that, but we're already editing inside Premiere, so we just export it from there. And I know you can use Photoshop as well if someone has Photoshop and not just, but I haven't done it that way in a really long time.
Now, are the GIFs automatically played or do you have to push a button to play it?
Nope, they're automatic. Yeah.
Excellent. And just out of curiosity, but videos are not automatically played, right, on YouTube. So you have to actually click the button. So the animated GIF thing could be actually pretty powerful, I would imagine. Does it tend to get a lot of interaction?
Yeah, because most videos in the feed are just a still thumbnail. You know, there's no motion that it grabs your eye's attention and forces your eye to like, look at me, right?
Right.
So the animated GIF is really powerful for grabbing that attention in an otherwise static feed. Huh. Now, I mean, as you guys have probably discussed before, you know, that's starting to change with some, you know, quick animated thumbnails on desktop and
I've never talked about that before. So tell me more about that. You can do animated thumbnails on desktop. I didn't know that.
Well, it's automated. You don't get to upload those thumbnails. YouTube kind of like takes a few seconds.
Oh yeah. Makes a preview kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you hover your mouse over it for like a second or two, it'll automatically start. So it's kind of like if you weren't paying attention, your mouse just kind of drifts and all of a sudden your eye comes over to the left side, right sidebar. You're like, oh, you know, because that motion captures your attention, which is what the animated GIF does really well.
Cool. So we were talking about animated GIFs and we were talking about resharing and surfacing old content. How else are you using the community tab?
So after a video is published, you know, after maybe like the next day or maybe 2 or 3 days, every channel is a little bit different, but after it's kind of gone through your initial subscriber feed, not everyone's checking YouTube every single day. I know, you know, it's not like Facebook where people log in like what, 7 times a day on average or something. Is that what I heard?
Probably more.
how many?
Probably more. My guess is it's probably like 20 for me, but I work in this space, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Not everyone does that every single day with YouTube. So it's if you're subscribed to a lot of channels and it's been 3 days since you checked YouTube and you come back, you know, my video's probably been pushed down if you're looking in reverse chronological order, pushed down the end of the feed. So you can resurface it then, like, hey, just in case you missed this, get a lot of good feedback. Number one question people are asking on this is this. Here's my response. What do you think? Check it out, you know? And And you can reach, and you can kind of keep that video going a little bit more that way. Another great thing is, you know, so let's say you have multiple YouTube channels, you have like a business one, you have a personal one. I think that if you're developing like a personal brand, you know, you have your professional side and your personal side. You know, recently we on my personal end, we just had our seventh child born, and a few weeks ago she was born blind in her left eye, and so I shared a little bit about that story with my video creators audience, my professional audience. But I'm like, hey, I just want you guys, like, here's a glimpse into my personal life of what I'm dealing with and going through right now, the surgeries that we're facing and things. And so the vlogs from our personal channel, I shared a few of those on the community tab on my video creators, just to kind of like give people a glimpse into the human side of what I am. Wow. You know, so they don't have to subscribe if they want to. It's just, they can just read the update and move on, but it just kind of builds that human connection, I think.
Well, I would imagine it also those that are interested in learning more about the Schmoyer family are going to potentially go over there and subscribe to that channel they may not have even realized existed, right?
Yeah, so you're going to cross-promote them, the channels. I think they're very different value propositions for two very different audiences.
Right.
So I don't think there's a lot of crossover necessarily.
But for someone who does have multiple channels that are kind of similar, this could be a value proposition.
They're not similar, like in my case, I think it's still like, here's the personal side, here's the business side. You know, I'm not just a business person. I am a person too, right? So I'm going to give you a glimpse into what my life is like, and if nothing else, it might build that no like trust factor thing as well. But so I use it to be more personal. It's kind of my point there, and yeah, just some of the personal size.
Question for you. You know about how many thumbs up and comments you get on a YouTube video. How do these community posts compare?
Oh man, compared to a video?
Yeah, do they get more comments and more thumbs up than your videos, or less? Just so people kind of have some sort of understanding.
They get less than a video for me. Now everyone kind of performs a little differently, but for me, the engagement as far as thumbs ups and comments is not even really close to what it'll be on a video. However, for me, it hands down beats the reach and the engagement I get on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram combined.
Got it.
But I mean, I'm the YouTube guy. That's a big deal. A lot more than the YouTube.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So I mean, so if you have someone listening right now has a decent following who's active on YouTube and they're not yet messing around with the community tab, this could be something for sure to like bring a, you know, increase the loyalty with their tribe. And another crazy question is, could you link to some of your products and services? Because there's so many creators that also, you know, teach courses or have books and stuff. Can you do that kind of stuff with this tab?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I haven't used it that way, but there's nothing saying you couldn't do that. Yeah, you could do that.
Anything else that as far as best practices or things to avoid or anything when it comes to the community tab?
Well, I think a couple of best practices. One, I think it's important to just kind of let your audience know that you're using it and kind of just train and educate them. It is a kind of a new thing. It doesn't take a lot of education, but to say, hey, guys, I'm going to be posting. If you don't want to see them, just change it from posts only to – or from posts and videos to post videos only.
Oh.
I think another good idea is asking your audience – for using it to ask them for content ideas, for feedback.
Oh, I love that.
Share personal things with them. I mean, I think I've been using my YouTube channel primarily for, here's the training on how to grow your YouTube audience. And then the community tab is, here's other additional resources that would be valuable for someone, even if the resource isn't from me, like this podcast, for example, of how you grow your YouTube audience and how you manage that. But from other sources and things like that. And so I've been using it more for sharing those types of things, personal things, polling my audience. What do you want to see next? And using quizzes for that. Or here's, I got these three ideas. What do you think I should do? Or here's this new feature that YouTube just launched. What do you think? You know, polls. I mean, you can use a lot of different things for that. Behind the scenes, people love, like, hey guys, I'm going to shoot this video. Got my setup. Here we go. Exclusive content that they can't find anywhere else. That's another big thing people have been doing, like pick picture of the day or you know, bonus little like unlist. You can post like an unlisted video. They're the only people who are following.
I was going to ask about that. Like, someone couldn't take your unlisted video and post it on their community tab, could they?
I don't know, actually. That would be kind of shady. But
yeah, because you would not want that, right?
I would not. I can try it real quick while we're doing this.
No. It's okay. I would imagine that they're going to honor that. You know, they wouldn't, if you don't want that published on YouTube, yeah. Then I would imagine they wouldn't want that to be shared in a community tab. That wouldn't make any sense. So yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of, you know, options here. Is the community that you're in adopting this slowly or rapidly, or what's
kind of? Oh, everyone wants it. Yeah, everyone's like, can I get my 10,000 subs so I can use this?
Got it.
I think one of the things that's generating the most excitement for it is that there's a lot of creators who are also using this to recognize their fans.
That's awesome.
And, you know, so whether they're taking screenshots of like super chats from their live streams, or they're screenshotting comments from their YouTube videos and posting that to the community tab and getting more attention on their fans, and just that type of featuring your community has really generated a lot of excitement for it too. So
that's awesome. Now, I understand, yeah, YouTube has a some sort of a little course or something like that at their Creator Academy. Is that right? Is that worth checking out?
Yep. Yeah, they have it's a lesson on that kind of takes you through the best practices. They have their own training video here. Did I send you the link to this already?
Yeah, I think? I'll just say it out loud here. It's creatoracademy.youtube.com/page/lesson/community-tab. And we'll have that in the show notes, but I guess that's worth checking out. Tim, I know that there's a lot of people listening right now that may not follow you and may not know about all the great stuff that you're doing. So why don't you tell them where the best place is to find you on YouTube and all the other stuff you got going on?
Yeah, well, you can find me at youtube.com/videocreators, and got multiple videos every week where we just focus on how do we grow a YouTube audience, how do we reach people on this platform and spread a message that could really impact and change people's lives. And so that'd be the best place to follow along, and looking forward to seeing you guys there.
Tim Schmoyer, YouTube expert, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we look forward to seeing you at Social Media Marketing World.
Thanks. See you there.
Well, I hope you found a lot of value in today's interview with Tim. If there's anything we mentioned and you missed it, don't worry. We take all the notes for you. Simply visit socialmediaexaminer.com/288. Also, never miss a future episode of this podcast. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you in the driver's seat next week. I promise. I hope you make the absolute best out of your day, and may social media continue to change your world. And by the way, what do you think about our new jingle? Let me know. Later, guys.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Hey, just a quick reminder, join the Social Media Marketing Society today and level up your marketing for your company or your clients. Visit smmarketingsociety.com to find out more.